are. That goes to show you how great they are at being magicians. They'll say, in fact, you have white people, and I've sat at meetings where they have said it outright. Oh, I'm not really white. I'm part Indian. I'm part Cherokee. Like Cherokee is a color. Like Creek or Apache is a color. But they will say it with a straight.
This is the great Neely Fuller, y'all. It's breaking down, you know what I'm saying? You know, color and stereotypes and, you know, white people and just all that stuff. Education time.
Face. And everybody will say, the black people who are present will say, oh, okay, all right, that's different. Rather than say, wait a minute. It's no such thing as part white. Wait a minute. There is no such thing, person, as part white. You're either white or you're not. So who are you, sir? Who are you, ma'am? Don't come to me with that part white. There's no such person as that. It doesn't exist. He or she does not exist. Now, are you trying to confuse me or what? Because there is no such person as what you're talking about. You cannot be part white. It's impossible. And are you saying, he said, well, I didn't say that I was part white. I said that I was part Cherokee Indian, but I'm a white man. More confusion.
I know black.
See, so in answer to what the gentleman is saying, he's saying he's still confused. You better believe you are.
No, because
I'm explaining to you how they do it. They will say anything, and you will wind up being the only person confused.
I know black.
So how do you tell who is white and who's not? You have to watch them very closely and see if they, under all circumstances, and that means you have to really watch that individual person, the way they move about in all 9 years of activity, and see if they can go anywhere and be accepted as white. That's the only criteria you can use in answer to your question, because that's the only criteria I can use. I can say, oh, well, you know, Pedro Gonzalez,
I know black.
You say that you're a white man. Well, that's what you say, and you might believe that, okay? But I will see how everything works for you or against you when you're around what I would call some sure enough white people. Yes, we need...
There's that house that we passed by yesterday when we were talking about the gentrification.
Oh, the one on Vine and... What was that on Vine?
Palmer.
Vine and Palmer. Yeah, what... You dug that in for us, baby?
Yeah.
Nice.
So it's for sale for $440,000.
They want $440,000 for that?
Yeah. I mean, I looked at the pictures. It is remodeled.
Okay.
But... I mean, I guess. Yeah, I mean, it's not my taste.
Okay, so that's so $440,000 now in 2024 they're asking for that.
Yes. It's three bedrooms, three baths.
Three beds, three baths.
There is two floors.
Okay. It ain't a duplex, it's a single family with two floors. Okay.
Single family.
Okay.
It last sold in January of 2023 for $382,000.
So we're at about a 70-something thousand-dollar profit already, or that they're trying to get?
Well, and they probably remodeled, you know, when they bought it. So they did upgrades. Like, the bathrooms are nice. The kitchen is brand new.
Okay.
But before that,
yeah, we're trying to get to, yeah, basically Michelle's, she has to go all around the block for this because we're trying to see, like, you know what I'm saying, like, what it, yeah,
it sold in June of 2009 for $190,000.
Wait, say that again, baby.
It sold in June of 2009 for $190.
For $190. Holy shit.
And in May of 2002 for $237.
Wow.
There was a housing market crisis in between there.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1996, it had sold for $138.5. So it was probably, house was probably trash.
Exactly.
You know, because it was built in the 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe people bought it hoping to remodel, didn't.
So just, so how many?
So it has gone up, so it has gone up. Since, okay, it was sold in 1996 for $138.5, and now it's sold for $440.
So just about closing in on 30 years later, what's that difference? About roughly $440
like 300,000.
Now? 300,000. So basically, wasn't, I mean, putting aside what they were asking for, like upgrading and stuff, so you're saying just back then, that house was worth $100 and something.
Right.
And that was in 2000. Damn, I wonder what that shit was like in like the late 90s or something.
Well, 138 is what it sold for. I'm just trying to see if there's comps.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's a house next door to it
okay.
that has, oh, it's blurred out. it's 3 bedrooms, 2 baths
mm-hmm.
for, it just, it's off the market, but it's approximately worth $486.
Damn.
I don't know if that's a duplex. No, it wouldn't be a duplex.
So in reality, a lot of the that cost goes into the area because it's downtown.
Yeah, but like this one, let's see. This is on Brown.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that one of the? Does that look like a? That's not a habit.
It's not a habitat house because you can tell by the inside.
Right.
But that one sold for $400.
Because he had those original hardwood floors and shit. It looks like.
Yeah.
On that one.
And you can just tell the style of the home.
You can tell. Yep.
I think those are like.
And like you were saying, like the material on that home, them upgrades look solid.
Yeah.
You know, because how we were saying, like...
I mean, this looks really nice.
That
like,
does
this
look
does
nice
look worth $400,000.
Hey, baby,
they
you know...
They clearly gutted the entire place, but kept the 1800 charm. Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know how we were saying over there, like, on West Lawn?
Mm-hmm.
How they, like... And I can appreciate that they fixed that up a little bit, you know what I'm saying? But... Like we were saying, like the materials that they use on some of the things that they fix up in the city, like in the inner city or whatever we're calling it, some of the materials I think are not.
They're not high end materials.
It's not high end. Why can't it be?
Well, but that's how they keep the cost down.
Right, but then it looks shitty and. Like that West Lawn, that new West Lawn.
That looks really nice.
Give that another. 6, 7, 8 years.
And you know what's funny?
It's gonna start deteriorating like our house on Sherman.
Like, I will say that the remodel of West Lawn has been about 15 years. That was about 15 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And it still looks pretty good. Because when that first went out,
mm-hmm.
everybody said what you just said. Give it 5 years, it'll be trash.
That's true. I'm hoping I'm wrong.
And it looks like they're building more. Like they've been adding to that community.
Mm-hmm.
But there's things that, you know, make it look like people not picking up garbage.
Dumping
stuff into the, you know, into,
there's
still some vacant areas.
Because all that adds to it looking like shit. Or starting to look like shit.
Right.
Because you could have a nice ass building.
Generally, the apartments or townhouses, they have variety. It looks like they have side-by-sides, apartment buildings, maybe single family. I'm not sure, like toward behind. But it generally looks still nice. Street. It just happens to be like a lot of stuff happens there.
Because I remember when I wonder if some of that neighborhood over there is starting to get gentrified. Because I know when I was going to John Muir and when I was going to Browning over there, it was crazy now that I think about it. Because John Muir, I'm going to say 75% of the school was black. I'm going to say maybe 70. I'll say about 7 out of 10 kids at John Muir were black. But it seemed like there were a lot of white families over there living. Still. Maybe they just weren't going to the school. Because when I was at Browning, when we graduated, it was either people were going to John Muir or Webster. Those were the two middle schools that it seemed like everyone was going to. But it seemed like there was a white neighborhood.
Yes, I think like...
And maybe I'm wrong, because I didn't live over there. I went to school there.
And see, like, I didn't live over there, but close to there. And I would say it was a good mix of
maybe that's what it was, a mix, maybe, because I see a lot of white people.
I want to say, like, the Northwest.
That's where the Hmongs live.
I would consider that the Northwest side.
Oh, definitely, right? Definitely.
So, like, that has a lot of Hmong community.
Yeah.
But I will say now it's probably more black than anything. I don't think that side of town
is being gentrified yet. I want to see like some of those little areas, like those little neighborhoods, like off of Silver Spring, as you get in the higher, like in the 50s, 60s areas. I wonder if some of those little neighborhoods with the smaller houses, I wonder if some of that's being gentrified.
I don't know, like if somebody buy, because I think what happens is that people buy foreclosures, fix it, flip it.
Yep, flip it. And a lot of times they don't want to live there. Like you said, they'll turn it into an Airbnb in mind or whatever.
Right, or so they flip it, but they use cheap materials so that...
Because they're only renting it.
Right, like they make it into a rental property because you can't put $100,000 into a home on that side of town and expect to get your money back. You can't sell a house over there for $300,000. You just can't. Nobody's going to buy it because the neighborhood is shit, unfortunately.
Right. And what sucks is you have a ton of good people in there just working, you know what I'm saying? But
I would it's a... between lower and middle class neighborhood. Because there aren't a lot of apartments over there.
Right.
It's mostly all homes or duplexes.
And them homes are small over there.
Yeah, like they have ranches like mine. A lot of them are ranch style. And then they just have like duplexes or side-by-sides. They have a lot of those.
What do you mean side-by-sides?
It's like a duplex, but it's this
way.
Oh,
yeah, 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 okay, got you. Yeah.
Or I guess some people call them townhouses.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But there's not a lot of apartments over there.
Damn, guess what today is in history. So on May 13, 1981, Pope John Paul II was shot and seriously wounded in St. Peter's Square by Turkish assailant Mehmet Ali Agca. Yeah? May 13th. Let's see who he was shot by. It's probably a white guy. Let's see. Here's some crazy shit too right here in U.S. And this is from the Associated Press. So it says, court upholds a Nebraska woman's murder conviction. Oh, shout out Nebraska. People in Nebraska are listening to us. They are listening to DBJ and Michelle's Cold World podcast. Appreciate you, Nebraska. So it says, court upholds a Nebraska woman's murder conviction, life sentence in dismemberment killing. White adult female. So Bailey Boswell walks into the courtroom for the sentencing hearing of the 2017 murder of Sidney Loof, Monday, November 8th, 2021 in Wilbur, Nebraska. The Nebraska Supreme Court has held up the murder conviction and life sentence of Boswell, Friday, May 10th, 2024. In the 2017 death and dismemberment of a Nebraska hardware store clerk. Wow, let's see this, okay. Man. Okay, so this article is from the Associated Press, but this article, the article is written by Marjorie A. Beck, I'm sorry, Marjorie A. Beck. And this is updated on May 10th, 2024. So it says, I'm going to look for the clip too. So this is out of Omaha, Nebraska. It says, the Nebraska Supreme Court has upheld the murder conviction and life sentence of a woman in the 2017 death and dismemberment of a Nebraska hardware store clerk. Bailey Boswell, age 30, was convicted in 2020 of first-degree murder, conspiracy to commit murder, and improper disposal of human remains in the death of 24-year-old Sidney Loof. Boswell's co-defendant and boyfriend at the time of the killing, 58-year-old Aubrey Trail. Dang. You hear this, baby? Mm-mm. So this lady, this 30-year-old Bailey Boswell that killed this hardware store clerk, she had a 58-year-old boyfriend too, white Caucasoid. His name is Aubrey Trail. They were both convicted on the same charge in 2019. So the Aubrey Trail was convicted on the same charge and he was sentenced to death in 2021. Prosecutors said Boswell and Trail had been planning to kill someone before Boswell met Loof on the dating app Tinder. Boswell made plans for a date with Loof, a cashier at a Menards store in Lincoln, to lure her to the apartment where she was strangled. The FBI and other law enforcement spent 3 weeks searching for Lou before her dismembered remains were found in December of 2017. Lou's body was cut into 14 pieces and left in garbage bags and ditches along rural roads in southeastern Nebraska. Baby. Stereotype, right? But this is another example. Would you agree or disagree? This is a stereotype that I feel like is actual reality, that most of these people that are out here cutting people up, dismembering them, don't like doing all that super extreme shit are white adult males and occasionally white women.
Yes, I wouldn't even say that's a stereotype. I would say that's a fact. Because when you hear about it...
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry, go ahead, baby.
I mean, but when you hear about it...
Because I was expecting you to just be like, well, it is, but it's accurate. Oh, you're like, no, that shit's just a straight-up fact.
I thought I was going to be a contrarian.
No, not a contrarian. I just thought you were going to... I was like, she'll probably agree with it, but...
She'll have a but.
No, not a but, like, just maybe just see, like, oh, yeah, that's accurate type shit, not, like, really drill down on it. But you were like, yeah, that's just a fact.
No, I think that's...
Yeah, I guess it was more like how I would have been with it, I guess. But you're just brutal with that, I guess.
I think if you were to look it up,
right,
there's more white male serial killers
doing that
than
kind
there
of stuff.
Are black male serial killers.
And we're not
killers.
Saying there ain't black serial killers. There are. You can go online and find them. There's the dude in Atlanta. I forgot his name. He was butchering people up and shit.
Right.
I got you, baby. So they're out there. We're just saying the numbers.
Statistically, there's more white male. And I would like to know what the psychology is behind it.
That's what I'm saying. It goes deep. A lot of it is not for every situation. A lot of it is loneliness, mad at the world, angry, not learning life skills, not knowing how to deal with...
But usually there's some sort of trauma in their childhood that kill people.
All of that too.
In mass.
Yep. No doubt about it. Let's see. So, okay, the FBI and other law enforcement... Oh, I said that. I'm sorry. So let's see. I'm going to see if I can find... So she didn't appeal. The girl, it says, in her appeal, Boswell challenged the admission of evidence by prosecutors in her trial, including photographs of Luke's dismembered body. Damn. Arguing the gruesome photos serve only to turn the jury against her. Boswell also objected to the testimony of several women who said Trail and Boswell had talked of, what is that?
Occult.
They talked about occult fantasies and had expressed a desire to sexually torture and kill women. Like, what is that? Like a person's desiring to do that. Yeah, that's crazy. I'm gonna see if I can pull the audio up.
That sent chills down the spine of the state, and 4 years after being convicted in that gruesome slaying, Bailey Boswell's appeal has come up empty.
Boswell, along with Aubrey Trail, were found guilty on a number of charges, including first-degree murder for killing 24-year-old Sydney Loof in 2017. In her appeal, Boswell's attorney argued to the state Supreme Court that photographs of Loof's dismembered body shown during her trial were, quote, more prejudicial than probative, and also said evidence regarding witchcraft and sex acts was irrelevant and wasn't admissible in court. The Nebraska Supreme Court ultimately found no errors in the district court's ruling, affirming her conviction and sentence. As for Aubrey Trail, he was sentenced to death and remains on death row.
So what I'm going to do now is switch up the energy and you know, I'm just kind of all over the place this morning, you know what I mean? But I want to make sure I get a lot of stuff done, you know what I mean? So there's really no set kind of, you know what I mean? Are we going to do this and say that and then do this and do that? It's kind of just all over the place, right? As long as the information is accurate and relevant. So like I wanted to take a few minutes to help put some information out here on some of our missing black girls. You know what I mean? Black girls, black women, just throughout the country. Cause you know, people are listening to our podcast like all over the place. You know what I mean? So I think it's important. You know, clearly, you know, I'm from Milwaukee and stuff, and I do a lot of stuff on Milwaukee, and I'm going to continue to do that just because where I'm from. But knowing that, you know, people listen in a lot of different states and all over the world. Like, my mother told me that the other day, like, I think it was a couple weeks ago when we were having breakfast. She was like, that's good. She was like, your podcast is literally, like, worldwide. You know, I mean, we probably don't have a ton of people listening worldwide, but we got listeners from Canada, Singapore, Austria, Australia, Papua New Guinea, or however you pronounce that. I don't even know how to pronounce, you know what I mean? So we got people listening all over the place. We got people listening in more than half the states in the country, of the United States, so, you know what I mean? So why not spread the word around, you know what I mean? So, and I hope, and like I always say, like, and I check to make sure this website is accurate, and I believe it is, but you know, for people, anyone that has a website and you're providing information, it's on you to make sure your websites are updated, especially when you're providing information like this, when it comes to like missing people and all that kind of stuff. Make sure your websites are always up to date. You know what I mean? Because people are going to come on here and read stuff and try to help out and get some of these names out here and stuff like that. And if, you know, if your website information ain't accurate, you know, it kind of defeats the purpose. So this is an endangered list. This is off the Our Black Girls website. It's the endangered archives. Well, they have, you know, archives for any kind of category you want, like endangered, murdered, missing. You know, they have all different kind of categories. So this is the endangered one that I looked at. So I'm start reading some of the names. So this individual is missing. Her name is Lori Page. This is a black female. She's age 12. Lori Page, age 12. Reward offered in Florida girl's missing persons case. The FBI is offering a $15,000 reward for information about Lori Page, who vanished from Florida in the summer of 2023. For 8 months, a 12-year-old girl has been missing from Tallahassee, Florida, and now the FBI has made an announcement. The last time anyone saw Lori Page, that's L-O-R-I, Page, P-A-I-G, as in golden, E. So that's Lori Page, a Griffin middle school student, was last seen on June 23rd, 2023. Lori was said to have been around the 1200 block of Continental Court. Hold on, I'm gonna turn this down because they're outside, like, I think they're cutting grass or something, so hold on. So let me just read that last part real quick, because yeah, they're outside like cleaning up and stuff like that, so I just wanted to shut the window. My apologies. So it says, for 8 months, a 12-year-old girl has been missing from Tallahassee, Florida, and now the FBI has made an announcement. The last time anyone saw Lori Page, a Griffin middle school student, was on June 23rd, 2023. Lori was said to have been around the 1200 block of Continental Court. Continental Court. The FBI will stop at nothing to protect kids, and we are fully committed to helping our partners at Tallahassee Police Department exhaust every investigative resource in the search for Lori Page. FBI Jacksonville Acting Special Agent in Charge Mark Dargis told WTXL, we encourage everyone to keep an eye out for this young lady and help us bring her home. Further, recently police have intensified their search for Lori by joining with the Tallahassee Fire Department in an examination of San Luis Mission Park. It's reportedly located in the northern part of the city and not far from where Lori Page was last seen. The park has been looked at by authorities in the past, but they're applying a different angle this time. A grid search is just an opportunity to go in inch by inch over an area, especially a very large area, making sure that we're able to comb through a lot of the different elements that we have out there, Hill told reporters as she spoke from the site of the search. Reports also state that Lori Page has ties to Tampa, Florida, Thomasville, Georgia, and Nashville, Tennessee. Once again, it says that Lori Page has ties to Tampa, Florida, Thomasville, Georgia, and Nashville, Tennessee. And then they just give like some descriptives about her weight and height and all that. So it says, at the time of her disappearance, Lori Page stood 5 feet tall and weighed 120 pounds. She has black, dark brown hair, they're said in shoulder length, and brown eyes. What she was last seen wearing is known. However, it was stated that she may have had a multicolored backpack with her as well. So anyone with information about this case is urged to contact the FBI's Jacksonville field office at area code 904-248-7000. Once again, if you have any information on Lori Page, hit up the FBI's Jacksonville's field office at 904-248-7000. Or the Tallahassee Police Department at area code 850-891-4200. Once again, Tallahassee Police Department at 850-891-4200. Or they're saying you can submit a tip online at tips.fbi.gov. And the FBI is offering a $15,000 reward in this case. So, you know, y'all go on and share that, man. Y'all go and look that up, share the information if possible. Really appreciate it. You know, like I said, I'm down here in Milwaukee, but, you know, all of this, man, you know what I'm saying? That's one of the powerful things about the internet and stuff like that, and all that, you know, people can connect and share this information and stuff like that. Here we have another one. This is Alexis D. Ware. Alexis D. Ware. That's A-L-E-X-I-S. D as in David. Ware. W-A-R-E. She has been missing since J- January of 2022. It's small. I'm trying to. Okay, there we go. Missing since January 30th of 2022. Missing from Anderson, South Carolina. Once again, Alexis D. Ware, black female, has been missing since January 30th of 2022 from Anderson, South Carolina. So she, like I said, she went missing on January 30th, 2022. They're saying she would be 31 years old right now. And missing from Anderson, South Carolina. Female, black, light complexion. They're saying she's 5'5", 230 pounds. Black hair, long black hair. So they're saying she has long black hair and brown eyes. Once again, 5'5", 230 pounds. Female, black, light complexion. Missing from Anderson, South Carolina. They're saying she'd be about 31 years old. This is Alexis D. Ware. They're saying the location she was last seen. Says Alexis was last seen in Anderson, South Carolina on Highway 29 north of January. Oh, Alexis was last seen in Anderson on Highway 29 north on January 30th, 2022. It says authorities confirmed on February 3rd, 2022, that Alexis's car had been found in another part of the state, but there is still no sign of her. Damn, man. Read that one more time. It says authorities confirmed on February 3rd, 2022, that Alexis's car had been found in another part of the state, but there is still no sign of her. Man, hold on, let me see if there's any more information on her. Okay, there is not. That's all they have right here. So anyone with information, please contact Anderson County Sheriff's Office at area code 864-260-4406. Once again, if you have any information, please call the Anderson County Sheriff's Office at area code 864-260-4405. Alexis D. Ware. Please, if anyone has any information down there, I know we got a few listeners from South Carolina. So if you know anything, hit that number up.
Can a 12-year-old little girl just disappear and nobody knows anything? Not only that, this little girl goes missing June, July, August, September, October, November, December, January, February.
This is the Lori Page case. I'm just playing a couple minutes of the audio.
Why? Where is this beautiful 12-year-old girl, Lori Page, out of Tallahassee, Florida? Got a lot of questions about this investigation. But most important, where is she? Is she dead or alive? Who has her? What's been done to her? Has she been sex trafficked? Is she being hidden? Is she even alive? Let me give you a tip line right off the top. 850-574-TIPS. 850-574-8477. We really need your help. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us here at Crime Stories and on SiriusXM 111. This is how the whole thing starts. Take a listen to Lieutenant Laura Varble.
She was reported missing to us on June 3rd by her father with very limited information. So Dad works overnight. He works in our correctional facility. So he left the night late the night before, returned the next day after his shift, and she was gone.
Okay, let me clarify what Lieutenant Varble is saying. After I started investigating this case, I learned when she says that's not abnormal, she doesn't mean that the girl is gone is not abnormal. What is abnormal What was not abnormal is that Dad works a night shift. Mom's out of the picture. Dad has the 12-year-old girl. Everything's going along fine. He works a night shift, and then he comes home, and she's there. This is a responsible dad who works within the correctional facility, I believe at a prison, and holds down a regular job and is taking care of his 12-year-old little girl. With me, an all-star panel.
Okay, I just wanted to play a little bit of that Nasty Grace clip. I don't really fuck with Nasty Grace that much, but she'll be on our shit with that crime stuff. I just don't like, she's just a little too much for me. Like, I don't know. But so this next individual, so yeah, y'all go, you know, go look these cases up too, you know what I mean? I just wanted to play a little bit of the audio, like, because Nancy can be long, super long-winded. And that video clip was like 45 minutes long. So this next clip is, this next individual that we're going to try to spread some information out here to help her be found. This is Scarlett Blanco. Scarlett Blanco, B-L-A-N as in Nancy, C-O, Scarlett Blanco, 19, disappeared in 2021 while traveling to Illinois. Says Scarlett was only going to the next town over, but police say she never made it to her destination. So let's see what's going on with this situation here. What is going on? So it says Scarlett Blanco, 19, disappeared in 2021 while traveling in Illinois. Okay, let's see what is going on. Let's see if we can get you found. It says there are several rumors and theories about what happened to Scarlett Blanco. Although she was reported missing in June 2021, the 19-year-old was last seen on May 7, 2021. Information about this case is scarce, including details regarding the status of the Kankakee Police Department investigation. Kankakee Police Department, that's spelled K-A-N as in Nancy, K-A-K-E-E, Police Department. About the status of, are they not a police anymore or some shit? I don't know. The National Missing and Unidentified Person System reported Scarlett was spotted leaving a known residence on Schuyler Avenue in Kankakee, Illinois. She was said to have been traveling to the next town over, Momency. Police did not believe she ever made it to her destination. Moreover, before she vanished, Scarlett did not have a known address. Damn, so she was homeless. She would stay with friends or at local hotels and was known to frequent Kankakee, Bradley, Mantino, Momense, and Hopkins Park. I hope I'm pronouncing these names right. Unfortunately, this is all that can be publicly discovered about Scarlett Blanco or her case. On NAMAS, it shows that what she was last wearing, the vehicle she was traveling in, and the belongings she may have had with her are unknown. So at the time of her disappearance, Scarlett Blanco stood 5 feet 4 tall inches and weighed 115 pounds. She has brown eyes and medium-length curly brown hair. She is biracial, black and white. Scarlett has 2 piercings in each ear and a nose stud in her left nostril. She also has several tattoos, a rose on her left front shoulder, a tiny sun on her right front shoulder, and the word DeAndre on her right breast. Further, Scarlett has freckles on her face. Her middle name is Joy. She would be 21 years old at the time of this publication. Anyone with information about this case is urged to contact the Kankakee Police Department. I'll spell that as K-A-N as in Nancy, K-A-K-E-E, Police Department at area code 815-933-0425. And you can ask for Detective Lieutenant Tim Chrysler at 815-933-0427. Once again, you can call either 815-933-0425, or you can get in contact with Detective Lieutenant Tim Chrysler at 815-933-0427 or their local authorities. And they're saying, you know, you can remain anonymous. There's an anonymous tip line as 815-932-7463. 815-932-7463 if you want to remain anonymous. So y'all go on and share that story, you know, the Scarlet Blanco. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times you just got to reignite the interest in the case, you know what I'm saying, to get it going again. Sometimes. So, you know, that's what I'm trying to do. You know what I mean? I'm off today. I'm just sitting on my ass. So make myself useful, right? I'm always trying to make myself useful, even when I'm not working that day. Try to make myself useful in some kind of way. So yeah, let's try to see if we can help find Scarlet Blanco. Let's see if there's any more information real quick that I can give. So that's pretty much it on her, and that case is out of Illinois. So if you have any information, please hit that number up. Okay. Hi, baby.
Hi.
So I'm just reading some missing women cases.
Yeah,
this is off the Our Black Girls website. So I'm just reading, you know, stories throughout the whole country, because like I was saying, we have a lot of people listening.
Yes.
From all over the place. So, you know, I thought it'd be a good thing to do it.
For sure.
You know what I mean? So this next individual is Tonya Conley. That's T-O-N-J-A Conley, 27. Memphis woman left auntie's house and disappeared. Tonya Conley. So it says, in 2020, Tonya Conley was last seen leaving her aunt's home in Memphis, Tennessee. What happened after this is unknown. So let's pull up the article. Tonya Conley, 27, Memphis woman, left aunt's house and disappeared. Only a few sentences will survive if you look for information about Tonya Conley. Like many other cases involving black women, Tonya's story can only be found in government national missing persons and unidentified system, as well as a few brief online news reports of Memphis, Tennessee. What's up, baby?
Oh, nothing.
Oh,
I'm just
in and out. Oh, okay. I thought you were about to ask me something. According to Fox 13 Memphis, Tonya Conley was last physically seen leaving her auntie's residence on the 200 block of Spoonbill Drive on July 7, 2020. Tonya was driving a black 2018 Nissan Sentra or Versa at the time. It is unclear whether Tonya was headed following the family visit, but it was stated that when she did not show up to work the following day, her loved ones became concerned. Sounds familiar to the Sade Robinson case, you know what I'm saying? That's what like kind of sparked all of that. Cause she didn't come to work that next day, and people were like, yo, what's up? Like, she never misses work. So people kind of like knew right then, like something ain't right. It says, Tonya has not been seen or heard from since. Further, her vehicle has yet to be located. Very few public details are available in this case. So I'll read the information that they have, like description information and stuff. So age 27, date of birth would have been August 6, 1992. Sex female, raised black, hair black, eyes brown, height 5'4", 114 pounds. Missing from the 4500 block of Water Mill Drive. Missing since July 2nd of 2020. Tonya Conley, they have it written so small, I'm just gonna blow it up on my touchscreen laptop. No, it's fine. Tonya Conley went to visit a relative in the 200 block of Spoonbill Drive on July 2nd, 2020, and has not been seen since. Miss Conley was driving her black 2018 Nissan Versa, Tennessee plates 6T21P9. Once again, license Tennessee plates 6T21P9. When located, contact the Memphis Police Department at 901-545-2677. Once again, 901-545-2677. And Missing Persons Bureau at 901-636-4479. Or you can call this Sergeant G. Suggs. I guess he's the one kind of heading up the investigation or whatever. So you can holler at him at the Memphis Police Department. The Missing Persons Bureau, 901-636-4479. Sergeant G. Suggs. Asked to holler at him. I'm just seeing if there's any. Yeah, there is very little information. Literally, what I read is all they have. Yeah. So, we're going to do one more. Okay. This next individual that we are going to help spread information and see if we can help locate her is Deandria Ford. That's D as in David, E, U, N as in Nancy, D as in David, R, E, A. Deandria Ford, 21, last seen leaving work in Houston in 2023. Says, for weeks, the loved ones of Deandria Ford have been frantically pleading for help. On September 21st, 2023, Deandria was at the Divas Bikini Bar and Grill, where she was employed, located right off the East Freeway in Houston, Texas. The 21-year-old only worked at the bar for a few weeks, and now her family believes she may have been abducted. As a rule, and for their safety, the bar's manager tells employees never to leave with a customer, especially men. However, surveillance cameras captured Deandria leaving the establishment with an unknown man after Divas closed. She was seen getting into a van with him in the parking lot, where they were said to have been for approximately an hour. A friend of Deandria's told authorities that the young mother called them around 2 a.m., but they didn't answer. When calls to Deandria's phones were made hours later, it was learned that it was powered off. I just hope that if anyone has, they release her and let her come home. We just want her home, Deandria's grandmother, Bridget Carrier, told KHOU. Her uncle, Kevin Carrier, added, I'm confident that something's not right. This is not her normal behavior. So I have a little audio clip here. I am going to play it.
Tonight marks 2 weeks since missing Houston woman Deandria Ford was last seen leaving work. It's a story you saw first here on KHOU. We spoke to Ford's family tonight, and they told us they had no idea she was a witness in a capital murder case. Court documents show Ford was present when a man was shot and killed in May while she rode in a car with that victim. Ford's family first came to us about her disappearance after she was last seen leaving the bikini bar where she worked. At the time, they feared she'd been kidnapped, but tonight, they have no idea what may have actually happened to her. If you know anything about her disappearance and whereabouts, call Houston Police.
So there's a little more information, it says. So further, an investigation uncovered explosive information that not even Deandria Ford's family was privy to. USA Today reported the young mother was named as a witness in a murder investigation involving her friend, 35-year-old Otis Parker. During the incident that occurred on May 18, 2023, Deandria was riding in the passenger side of a vehicle driven by Otis. She was sleeping as they pulled into an apartment complex around 4:30 a.m. Things quickly escalated when the pair were accosted by gunshots in a botched robbery. Here you go, baby. Excuse me. By June 2023, four people were named in a probable cause affidavit. Jamal Brown, 21, Mariah Green, 23, Jarrell Trayvon Wheeler, 22, and Quetiana Taylor, 21. Police named Brown as the shooter and stated that they had information to suggest that the group later plotted to murder Deandria Ford. Damn. In all, they made $1,500 in the theft. You hear that, baby? $1,500. You know, you can spend $1,500 in like 5 minutes nowadays.
Sure.
Literally.
Literally.
Right, $1,500 ain't shit nowadays.
Right.
It's really not. I mean, you can get a few bills paid with that and stuff, but...
A few. That'd be like my car insurance.
That $1,500, that's basically our rent.
Car insurance.
Like, kind of. Yes. It's pretty damn, yes. Pretty close.
I could pay our rent.
With that? And that's it, and it'd be back to... But Brown reportedly wrote... Sorry, we're not trying to make this humorous whatsoever. We're just seeing like someone's robbing somebody. I mean, I have no room to speak. Look what I was doing. You know, so let me back that up. You know, that I was robbing, doing that kind of shit. So who am I to talk? You know what I'm saying? But Brown reportedly wrote to Taylor in a string of text messages. She got to go too. Damn. In return, it says, Brown reportedly wrote to Taylor in a string of text messages. She got to go, too. In return, Taylor replied he was already aware that DeAndrea would be their next victim. Damn. So this is an ongoing investigation, y'all. So y'all down there in Texas, y'all, check this out. It says, all defendants in this case were reportedly given a no-contact court order to stay away from DeAndrea. However, Brown was shot and killed by police when they served him with a murder warrant. The three other suspects remained incarcerated without bond. Investigators asked that anyone who may have information related to Otis Parker's murder or DeAndrea Ford's disappearance to come forward. At the time of her disappearance, DeAndrea Ford stood 5'4" tall and weighed 170 pounds. She has black, dark brown hair and brown eyes. DeAndrea was last seen wearing a black tank top and tan pants. So anyone with information, call the Houston Police Department missing persons at area code 832-394-1840. 832-394-1840. Or the Houston Police Department patrol at area code 713-884-3131. Or hit the local authorities up. Share this story as well. DeAndrea Ford. You know what I'm saying? So we can just, you know, spark more interest. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to do one more. And then I think your boy Davi is going to go get some food in his stomach. Man, this is just crazy, man. How just people just go missing and shit. And all right. So this is Mary Ann Johnson. Mary Ann Johnson. Her middle name is A-N-N. So Mary Ann Johnson, 54, disappeared from Los Angeles in 1994. Says, for decades, the missing person case involving Mary Ann Johnson has gone unsolved. According to the Charlie Project, the 54-year-old may have run into trouble, but what kind remains a mystery. It's said that just a few days before Christmas in 1994, the 54-year-old was threatened by men hired to break her legs. Holy shit. Who hires somebody to break somebody's legs, man? That. Three men told Mary Ann they were paid $800 to harm her. Oh my goodness. However, they decided to pocket the money and instead warned her of the potential danger. Although they spared her the injuries, the men did not reveal who hired them for the would-be assault. They also didn't tell Mary Ann why the unidentified person went to such lengths to hurt her. On January 19, 1994, Mary Ann Johnson went to work at the Robinson's May department store in Los Angeles, California, as an account representative. Mary Ann was last seen leaving her job after telling her co-workers that she was meeting up with her estranged husband, Andrew Johnson, the next day. Andrew told police that he did indeed speak with his wife the day she vanished, yet he claimed they were not scheduled to meet the following day. He admitted that they were reconciling, and while they were separated in 1993, neither party filed for a divorce. The pair also owned a restaurant in Van Nuys, California, called Louisiana West. It went out of business prior to Mary Ann going missing. Is Van Nuys, that's southern, right?
Yes.
Isn't that one of the places we were thinking about going?
Yes.
Okay, Van Nuys, Cali. Yeah, we're thinking about going there when we go to Cali, when I get off this paper. Yeah, that's one of the potential spots. Anyways, on January 26, Mary Ann Johnson's vehicle was located at the eatery's parking lot. The restaurant was locked, and Mary Ann's keys were found inside her car. It is unclear if any evidence was recovered from the vehicle or the establishment. Updates about this case are scarce, but Mary Ann is listed as an endangered missing person. It is unclear if the authorities have named a person of interest. So I'll just give the information that they have on her, you know, as far as like description and stuff. So is that, it says, at the time of her disappearance, Mary Ann Johnson stood 5'7" tall and weighed 150 pounds. She had reddish brown hair, brown eyes, and her ears were pierced. What she was last seen wearing is unknown. Her x-ray records are reportedly not on file. Mary Ann would be 83 years old at the time of this publication. So I don't care that she's 83, we still need to find her if she's, you know what I mean? Because some people might just be like, oh, well, fuck that. She's old. She's about to die anyways. Fuck that. That's somebody's mother, somebody's grandma, all that shit. Anyone with information about this case is urged to contact the Los Angeles Police Department Adult Missing Persons Unit at area code 877-275-5273 or their local authorities. The agency case number is, I'll read it, fuck it, I don't know that, 94100-6395. Case number, I guess, because people might want to like dig it up and look further, 94100-6395, that's the case number. Please share this story about Mary Ann Johnson, you know what I'm saying, to help ignite information. I'm going to do one more. My stomach can wait for a minute. I'm hungry as hell, but I'm going to do, this is more important. Let's see. There's so many. It's just crazy. All right. Latoya T. Brown, 21, missing following an Alabama tornado. Oh, my goodness. Let's see. So Latoya T. Brown, 21, missing following Alabama tornado. And this article is by Erica Marie. Shout out Erica Marie for helping spread information. She was a dog lover, is a dog lover. I'm not speaking about her in the past tense. Latoya Brown is a dog lover. She has a black and white poodle right here. We had poodle when we were kids. Yeah. Plenty of conspiracy theories about what happened to Latoya T. Brown have existed. On April 27, 2011, a devastating tornado touched down in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. In the days that followed, an estimated 600 people were reported missing. Today, only four people remain, a woman and her two young daughters, and Latoya T. Brown. 42 people lost their lives in the storm, and some investigators believe this was also Latoya's fate. This may seem like a cut and dry case. However, several of Latoya's family members do not believe she fell victim to the natural disaster. The day before the tornado hit, Latoya was last seen leaving her family's house in Northport, Alabama, about 5 minutes from Tuscaloosa. At the time, the 21-year-old was splitting her time between her mother's and aunt's homes. What her family didn't know was that, secretly, Latoya worked as an exotic dancer. When she disappeared, Latoya Brown was said to have left her relative's home to get food with a friend. The shopping center where she was headed was in the storm's path. Latoya never returned from the outing, but her phone made a call around 5:30 p.m. just before the tornado hit, never to be used again. In the panic following the storm, it was assumed that Latoya might have been affected, but her family expected her to come home. Quote, I still believe that maybe she hit her head and lost her memory. Maybe she doesn't know where she is, Toy Jackson, Latoya's mother, told Tuscaloosa News in 2015. Damn, this is 9 years old. I have no idea, no idea. As she holds out hope, Toy offered another theory. She believes that her daughter's work as a dancer could have spelled danger. Hey, baby, do you think maybe that this is one of them situations where the mom is almost hoping that it has something to do with the exotic dancing situation? Because maybe she's still alive, because, like, if she was hit by that tornado, like, she's not around anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, my gut tells me it's the tornado.
Yeah.
I mean, because 9 years later, like, you would hope if she's still alive that she would have tried to get in touch with somebody. It says, maybe she somehow ended up becoming a victim of sex trafficking, Toy continued. I just don't know. Her husband, Robert Jackson, Latoya's stepfather, also said, and I quote, I want to feel that she's okay, that she's alive, but I don't know. I hope that one day she'll knock on that door, but I'm a realist and I know it may never happen. So, yeah, if y'all have, it says this is still an open case. Department spokesman Lieutenant Keith Carpenter said, we're still trying to locate her and following up on any information that comes in. Unfortunately, we haven't had a lot of information recently. Still, an investigation officer is not listed in the government's National Missing and Identified Person System database. So it sounds like ain't nobody really doing nothing. That's why it's good to bring these up. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because sometimes, you know, I know even when, like, we're watching the crime shows, there's been times where it end up being like a retired cop or some cop, you know what I mean, that maybe doesn't have much to do at the time, and he just starts looking up old cases and then just ends up digging into it and solving it. We've seen cases like that before. So, he just says, I miss my daughter each and every day. You know, so, yeah, I can imagine, man. At the time of her disappearance, Latoya Brown stood 6'1" to 6'3" tall and weighed between 150 pounds to 180 pounds. Her natural hair was dark brown, but it was reportedly blonde or strawberry blonde when she disappeared. Further, Latoya had 3 tattoos, one on her lower back, spelling her nickname Toya, that's T-O-Y-A. Another of angel wings just below the back of her neck, and the astrological sign of Virgo on the top of her left foot. Her middle name is T. That's T-E-E. So anyone with information, please, you know what I'm saying, hit the Northport Police Department up at area code 205-339-6600. And the agency case number is 2011-0500048. So yeah, please share the story, you know what I'm saying, about Latoya Brown. Once again, they're saying she was 6'1" to 6'3", weighed between 150 and 180. And they're saying her natural hair was brown, but they're saying reportedly she had dyed it blonde or strawberry blonde when she disappeared. And they're saying she had 3 tattoos, one on her lower back, spelling her nickname Toya, another of angel wings just below the back of her neck, and then she had the astrological sign of Virgo on the top of her left foot. And they're saying her middle name is T. So please, you know what I'm saying? Please, if anyone knows anything, or you think anything just sounds remotely like, you know what I'm saying, hit that number up, man. Because people deserve to be found out here, man, whether they're dead or not. Like, people's family members need to be able to, you know what I'm saying, have some sense of peace. And, they're still looking for Sade Robinson's. I'm going to just be brutally honest. I mean, like, I'm assuming they're looking for her head. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just so fucked up, man. Yeah, but they're continuing to look. You know what I mean? So it's just crazy out here. And like, I'm just saying, man, most of these, I'm not saying every situation, but a lot of times, man, when, you know, women go missing, just all races of women, when they go missing, man, a lot of times, man, it'll be these white adult males that'll be out here harming them, man. So, yeah. So let's try to find find some folks out here, man, and see if we can have people's families, man, have some sense of peace of mind. All right, so a lot of reading today. Hopefully, you know, people stick with us and listen to this. You know, sometimes, you know, we just like to do just super serious things like this and spread information because it's important. You know what I mean? I like to do a lot of different things on my podcast. And it's all information based. Whether I'm ranting, whether I'm talking about race, whether I'm doing things like this, you know, there's always, I always have a goal in mind. There's always a reason for this stuff. So with that, I'm about to go out of here and get me some food. I think I might make me like a, we got some of those Jimmy Dean, like those sausage patties and stuff. I think I might fry some of those up and make me a little sausage muffin with egg sandwich or something. And then, I don't know if we got to hit the store for anything. Thinking about maybe just going to get like a good frozen pizza, like a really good frozen pizza or something, and just throw that in tonight for the basketball games. Oh, and speaking of that, we're doing well in the survivor pool. We are currently 5th, 7th, and 21st. And our 5th place entry is only 17 points off the lead. And shout out Nicole, my brother's longtime girlfriend, you know, mother of his children. You know what I mean? She's doing super well. She's in first place. Shout out Nicole. She's doing really well. She's in first place. And so we'll see how long she can remain there. But yep, she's doing well. So shout that out. We're going to get out of here for now. And please, if anyone has any information on the names we read, you know what to do. So to the next one, I'm going to get some music together for my intro and outro. Just figuring out who I want to play today. And to the next one, we'll holler at y'all soon. We're off today and tomorrow, so be looking for more content. We have reached over 1,300 download mark. Super, super excited about that. So it just lets us know that people are listening. Because we're not going nowhere. We're going to keep on continuing to talk our shit. Nah, but peace and everyone stay safe out here, and we appreciate everyone that's listening to us. Family, friends, strangers, acquaintances, old co-workers, old people that I went to go to school with and all that stuff, you know what I'm saying? From elementary to middle school to high school, stuff like that, and you know what I'm saying? I'm sure people are learning out stuff about me that they never knew or whatever. Hey, I'm an open book. I'm an honest dude. You know, it is what it is with me. I get out in front of my stuff. That way no one can judge me. Because it'd be like, oh, damn, he already talked about that. You know what I'm saying? So, all right, y'all. Peace. Until the next one, stay safe. World Banks. Opposition talking again. It's time to remove the problem. Benjamins move everything round here. They will smooth without them. Experience is the best teacher. Keeps all the students silent. This morning I woke up on bullshit. And I'm choosing violence. Lamborghini, 2 Ferraris, 4. Heating only fuels my hunger. Felt these feelings all before. I done earned my shit. Strikes already. Time I get some more. We got no regard for order, nigga. Man above the law. Anyone with problems, we got them. This is for Brooklyn, Queens, Harlem. BX and SI are starving. I'm probably jet out the bottom. Feel like it's fucked the world again. I'm in my honesty column. Run down material things, I'm probably got them. 2024, we mobbing. My competition keeps hotter. Mystical niggas be turning. I won't lose no sleep out of them. These bitches always reach out when you getting your own rebounds. And I'm starting to feel like an alien. I'ma keep it 3,000. Trust me, dog, I'm sleeping fine. Give a fuck about your demons. How my pieces shine. You seen me before. Here comes the redesign.